God's grace, his mercy, his peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you are on the internet? Almost everybody. Did you ever get an email asking you to contribute some funds so somebody over in Liberia or that could get a huge amount in a settlement and give you half? Okay. All right. Me too. That's a pretty good scam. Actually, it's a pretty obvious one. And yet, do you realize last year Americans lost over $5 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars to internet scams, just like that one. It's pretty common, and it should be pretty obvious, but yet it's not. Now, there's a man in Utah named Ben Taylor, and Ben has a Facebook page, and he does YouTube videos of how to recognize and avoid scams on the internet. Well, a couple years ago, he got a Facebook message from a guy named Joe Willie, who lived in Liberia. And he was trying to convince Ben Taylor, who lives in Utah, that he would be able to collect a large sum of money, an inheritance or a court settlement. First, he had to pay a few small fees up front to claim the money, and he promised he would split the money with Ben Taylor if Taylor would send him those funds. Of course, Taylor recognized that as a scam right away. But he decided to play along, not just for the fun of it, but to make a YouTube video of it and instruct people how to avoid stuff like that also. Now, this is where the story gets good. Ben decided to turn the scam around. He claimed that he ran a photography business and would pay Joe to take some photos of African sunsets. To his absolute surprise, Joe Willie sent him some pretty decent photographs. So Ben did another strange thing. He bought Joe Willie, this scammer from Liberia, a new camera. He sent him this camera and he asked for some more photos. And the pictures that Joe Willie sent were pretty good photos. So now Ben had a situation on his hands. He had told Joe that he would pay him for good photos. And Joe Willie trusted Ben. So if Ben didn't come through, he would be guilty of running a scam too. So what should he do? Well, he decided to take the photographs and print a small booklet and advertise it for sale on his YouTube channel. He titled the booklet after a phrase Joe Willie had used in one of his first emails, "By the Grace of God." He charged $8 per booklet. With a short time, he'd sold $1,000 worth of booklets. This is where the story gets even better. Ben sent all the money to Joe Willie in Liberia with one condition, that he donate half of it to a local Liberian charity. Joe Willie did exactly that. And here comes the best part of the story. In 2018, Ben Taylor traveled to Liberia to meet his new business partner, Joe Willie. The two of them took more photographs and published a second book detailing the strange and wonderful story of their business partnership. Those two books have raised more than $90,000. Some of the money has gone to Joe Willie. He worked hard to do this. But the rest went to buy food for the hungry, purchase Christmas gifts, and support Christian churches in Liberia. That's a pretty good ending, or rather a beginning, to their story. It's a happy ending for Ben Taylor, for Joe Willie, and for all the people who have been impacted so positively by their photo booklets. The title is so good, "By the Grace of God." See, that story didn't have to end that way. Ben Taylor could have written him off right away, sent a nasty email back, or just deleted it. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, it became a story of generosity and new beginnings. I'd like for us to think about that today. How the grace of God can change an ending to a story. And not just your story or mine, but the story of all those with whom you come into contact. How many lives could be positively impacted if we chose grace as the first response to all the challenges we face from other people. Think about that. Grace. Unmerited, unearned love and goodwill. Grace was Jesus' first response to all those around him. And look at who he did have around him. People who wanted to trip him up. People who wanted to challenge him. People who wanted to humiliate him. People who ultimately wanted to crucify him. And yet Jesus responded with grace. Now that's not easy. And our Lord knew that that was not easy, and it wasn't. But look at Jesus' words to us today. To you who are listening, this I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Whoever said faith was easy, it's not. Now, Jesus is not offering here a set of simple rules to get by or to get ahead in this world. Jesus is inviting you and me to a whole nother world. It's a world that's not about measuring or counting or weighing or competing or judging or paying back or hating or all the rest. Jesus is inviting us to a world that is established through love. Love for those who have loved you. Love for those who haven't. And love even for those who might hate you. Can you imagine what that type of love would look like in real life, in a real world like we live in? Can you imagine if we responded in that way, how it might change the endings to many stories? How it might change our lives and how it might change the lives of others. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. The very first thing he's doing here, he's calling us to a love which is courageous. But notice how he begins this. To you who are listening, love your enemies. That's interesting, isn't it? Not everybody is listening, are they? Hopefully we are, and yet there are so many times in this life we don't listen. We go our own way and we do our own things. We respond in our own way. And yet Jesus here calls us to having a courageous type of love when dealing with other people. Now think what that would mean for us. Sometimes it would mean speaking up for someone who can't speak for themselves. Sometimes it means squelching a rumor. Sometimes it means even turning the other cheek. Sometimes it means praying for those who hurt us. Not praying about them, but praying for them. You see, it takes courage. And it takes a courageous faith to love so much that you don't strike back when you can. Our human nature is to get even, isn't it? Somebody does something to us, we're going to get back to them, one way or another. Somebody says something to us, we're going to say it back. Somebody says something about us, we're going to say something about them. That's our human nature. But that's not what God calls us to. And yet we see this played out every single day. Social media. How easy it is there to respond in ways which are certainly not in accord with Jesus' words. Because we can do it and then turn it off. Email. How easy it is to respond in email in ways that we'd never say to the person face to face. Driving. How well we respond there, don't we? Just this past week, two incidents that I read of, one here in Phoenix, one somewhere else. I forget where it was. It was in a Walmart parking lot, I think in Illinois. Somebody cuts someone off. Words get shared, exchanged. Guns are pulled out. Here in Phoenix, a 7-year-old girl died. In a Walmart parking lot, there's two drivers and a passenger who are on their way to the hospital. Both of them starting shooting at each other. That's not how Jesus says to respond, and yet it's the way we do, sadly, because it is human nature to try and get even. Our sinful human nature. Think how the ending of the stories there could be different. If by the grace of God, by the grace of God, we responded as Jesus would have us respond. Somebody cuts us off. Instead of flipping the bird or saying something nasty, even under our breath. What if we blessed them? What if we ignored it? What if we went our own way? Think about that. A couple times what I've done when people get nasty in their driving, I do this. Now, it's especially useful when I do that when I'm wearing my collar, too. If I responded another, think how that would look if I responded in other ways when they saw me wearing my clergy collar. What reflection would that have on our faith, on our Lord? By the grace of God, with courage and faith, dealing with other people, we can change endings to many stories. You see, we're followers of Jesus, and that makes the difference. We are not to respond with hate or with judgment, retaliation, or revenge. Those options are off the table for us. Jesus calls us to respond in a whole nother way. And the second thing Jesus tells us here in how we are to deal with other people by the grace of God is with a love which is generous. I mean, generosity in people is a wonderful thing to see. It's beautiful to see. And sometimes it's contagious. But I'm going to tell you this, it's risky. When you're generous to others, there is no guarantee that your giving is going to result in any benefit to you. Jesus says it right here. If someone takes something from you, don't demand it back. Let it go. Change the ending to the story. Jesus never gave anything to anyone in order to get something back in return. He gave because out of his love, he was compelled to do so. Love drives generosity. But the opposite is true too. Fear is the engine that drives selfishness and greed. Have you ever heard of Chuck Collins? I don't imagine too many of you might have. He's the great-grandson of Oscar Mayer. Remember that? I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is really what I'd love to be. Okay, I'm going to give you a minute to get that out of your head. And don't blame me if you go around with that tune in your head all the rest of the day. He was the great-grandson of Oscar Mayer. He was set to inherit a fortune when he became an adult. It had been put in trust for him. But instead, he did something that shocked many people. He chose to give it all away. All of it. Why? He was moved by a bunch of Christians who were tenants in a mobile home park. A mobile home park. You see, the owner who owned that land on which the mobile home park sat was going to sell it. And all the tenants would have to move. The only way they could keep their community together was to raise $35,000. This was a few years ago. To buy the land from the current owner. Well, Collins heard about this and he thought about giving them the money outright to be generous to them. But before he could do that, the tenants all banded together, led by a group of Christian people there, and they raised the money themselves. Well, there were those who had no money to contribute, and they said, "What do we do?" And their neighbor said, "Don't worry about it. We'll cover the cost for you." All the tenants got to remain. Well, Chuck Collins said that changed the course of his life and his thinking. He said, "I wanted to have what they had. They had a community that stood up for each other, that cared about each other, that loved each other. That's the kind of world I want to live in. And so he gave away his whole fortune. Today, he's a best-selling author and lecturer and senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C. That's the kind of world he wanted to live in. You know what? That's the kind of world that Jesus wants us to live in, too. It's what the kingdom of God looks like. You see, hate divides. Generosity unifies. Hate creates division. Generosity creates community. Hate oppresses. Generosity lifts up. And that's what Jesus calls us to in our dealings with one another. Generous in love, generous in forgiveness, generous in kindness, generous in being generous. And that's what he calls us to with people out in the world, someone we may not even have met. Oftentimes when I go by the ones who stand on the street corners with the signs begging, I'll give them a dollar, sometimes more. And I know people have said, well, why do you give that to them? They may just use it for drinking or cigarettes or something. I said, that's not on me. That's on them. What's on me is to be generous in the first place. And from them you have no hope of getting back. But maybe it will change an ending to a story. Maybe by the grace of God, something will be different for them. Because that's what Jesus calls us to. A love which is generous, as well as a love which is courageous. And there's one final thing here from what Jesus talks about. He calls us to an unconditional love. Unconditional. I learned something recently that I never knew. Are any of you in here Star Trek fans like I am? Okay, there's a few of you. Now, you know the great enemies in Star Trek are the Klingons, right? It's a fictional bunch of people. Well, the writers to Star Trek a few years ago made up a whole language for the Klingons. They wanted their Star Trek movies to be authentic. Did you know that in Klingon there is no word for love? The closest they come to it in the Klingon language that they made up for this group of movie fictional people is on hate. That's the closest. You know, it would be easy for us in this world if we could define love simply as on hating others. But Jesus doesn't let us off that easy. He doesn't let us define love. He doesn't even let us decide who's worthy of our love. Listen to Jesus' words right here. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But you love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Think about that. God is kind and loving even to the ungrateful and the wicked. Are we? Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Are we? Judge not. Do we? See, there's the standard for love for those who follow Jesus. It's an unconditional love. It's the same unconditional love that led Jesus to go to the cross for you and for me, even when we did not deserve it. Romans 5, chapter 8 says it so well. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, when we were the ungrateful and the wicked, Christ died for us. So where does that leave us? The only option we have is that if we follow Jesus, we love others, all others, with the same unconditional love with which Jesus loved us. It's our only option. Remember George Wallace, governor of Alabama, 1962 to 1987? He was known or infamous for his support of Jim Crow laws, racist laws. He opposed integration of any kind, and he absolutely rejected the idea of equality for black citizens. Well, in 1972, a guy by the name of Arthur Bremer shot George Wallace trying to assassinate him. George Wallace was paralyzed for the rest of his life. In the hospital, he was quite surprised when a person came in to see him. Her name was Shirley Chisholm. She was the first black congresswoman. Now, Wallace had been an absolutely staunch opponent of Chisholm's from the start. When she sat down in a chair next to his bed, he looked at her and he said, "What were your people going to say about you visiting me in this hospital?" She said, "Governor, I don't know what they're going to say, and I really don't care. But I wouldn't want what happened to you to happen to anyone." Wallace broke into tears. A few years later, Shirley Chisholm was fighting for minimum wage for domestic workers. They're, of course, mostly black in the South. Well, George Wallace went to his political colleagues and he advocated for her legislation, and it passed. That's a story with a happy ending. We all like stories with happy endings, don't we? But sadly, if you look through the history of mankind, it's not that way. Too often we see endings of hatred and violence and suffering and injustice and little girls getting shot between two men who just had to argue over a car parking space. It all started with Cain and Abel way back, and it continues right up till today. And it comes out of the human heart. But you know what? It doesn't have to end that way. Not for us. Not for Christians. Because in Jesus, God invites us to a new world, the world called the kingdom of God. And that's not for heaven, that's for now. And how so? Well, listening, as Jesus said, and following these words he gives us, taking his example to heart, and living toward others with a courageous love, respecting them with a generous love, and bringing to each one of them an unconditional love. In that way, we do change the endings to stories, ours and theirs. And it's all by the grace of God. In his name, amen. And now his peace, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds by that faith to eternal life. Amen.